Hey y'all, movie retrospective time. Guess what? You're getting a surprise double feature today. Yeah. We didn't even know we were going to do a double feature until last night.
We're going to do both of them at once?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, they're kind of related. So like I said, in the Patreon poll, Galaxy of Terror, the infamous Roger Corman movie from 1981, won. And we were watching it on Tubi, and after it was over, the next one that came on in the rotation was Forbidden World, also produced by Roger Corman and using the same sets from Galaxy of Terror.
A lot of them.
So, yeah. So I was like, well, shit, man, why don't we just watch this one too? Because, you know, we were drinking and whatnot. So, and I said, and we'll talk about both of them because they're very different movies, but they do have a lot of, like, the same crew and stuff.
Different directors and stuff. It's a very different tone. Both of them have something different to offer. It's funny how Galaxy of Terror is infamous. You called it infamous. I thought it was a pretty good movie.
Well, as I say infamous because of that worm rape scene.
Yeah, okay.
That's why it's infamous.
This was the movie that this is the movie that made James Cameron.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this shit with me and my fucking buddies down in Mississippi in the summertime, and I think it was on Cinemax. And when we first saw the ad for it in the guide, because we had paper guides back then to the fucking to the show, to like Showtime and HBO and Cinemax and everything. And Cinemax, I think, was new. I think this one was on Cinemax. And Cinemax showed racier shit.
Well, they didn't call it Skinemax for nothing.
Yeah. And this shit showed up on it, and it would have, and it was like new movies and this and that. And it's a Galaxy of Terror. And it had Erin Moran, who is the girl from fucking Happy Days.
Yeah, Joni.
Yeah, we hadn't seen her in a long time, several years, because that series had been gone. And it said nudity, sexual situations. And we go, oh, they're gonna she's breaking it off. She's breaking it off. We stayed up.
Joni's
all night.
Naked.
Yeah, we thought they were talking about her. So we stayed up all night. Wasn't her. She was in it. But it's not what they were talking about. They were talking about this blonde chick, looked like a hustler, honey. She looked real good. Get raped by a big old fucking alien
maggot?
Caterpillar.
Something.
Yeah, it was just part of her dream. It's kind of, the movie is a lot like Forbidden Planet in a certain way. People fighting their id and their fears and shit.
Which is kind of like ahead of its time, because when we were watching it, I was kind of like, this is essentially the same premise as Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It was.
I guess Event Horizon was more like hell in space, but it was the same kind of thing where you were fighting the thing you were most afraid of.
All-star cast.
Holy shit.
And you didn't know it was all-star cast at the time that you're seeing this when you were a kid, because these are the people at the beginnings of their careers. I mean, they got fucking Sid Haig is in it.
He is.
Sid Haig is in it, fucking before you know who Sid Haig is. And he's doing Sid Haig type shit. Look at his shit like, his shit blows up. He's doing all that kind of shit, and he plays this badass dude who I live and die for the crystals. And that shit was impressive.
He's like crystal throwing star type things.
Are they wouldn't take any other weapon, but it was part of his.
They
religion.
Don't do a lot of of backstory or character or
which
anything,
which is perfect. For a movie like this, don't explain anything. Just let
just
it run.
Put it in there.
And then he's like, and his crystals break, and his buddy goes, I got you, man. He's all broken about it. Shit. They don't have to explain nothing about it. You know what I mean? It's just,
we get it.
They're letting your imagination go with this. But this movie, it didn't look very good on the television screen. CRT
nothing
TV
did.
Back then. And I never saw this in a theater. Seeing it now in HD on a fucking decent on a decent fucking TV, you're like, oh, this movie's badass.
It looks really nice.
It looks really good. It's James Cameron's work. He's making an alien ripoff movie that is so good they give him Alien 2, Aliens. And when you watch this movie, it's got, imagine Aliens 2 being done with kind of like Terminator 1 technology, you know, from Terminator 1 budget. Probably less than Terminator 1, maybe.
Oh, I'm sure.
But he gets the job done, man. Fucking the interiors look good. The exteriors look good. Good score. Decent flow to the movie. Good writing. You got fucking Freddy Krueger, the dude who plays Freddy Krueger. Robert England's in it. He fights himself. Good special effects.
That's one of my favorite scenes, actually.
Yeah. Good special effects. Some fucking hot blonde chick gets raped by a goddamn alien fucking caterpillar. Old dude gets eaten up by damn tentacle fucking vipers. sucking blood up, going down in a damn hole. They're ripping off Alien at certain parts, but it's working. It's working. And then there's like, found out that the Earth is being controlled by this supernatural master. He's kind of like the fucking Sith Lord or something.
Yeah, he's called the Planet Master.
The Planet Master. He's in charge of the whole fucking deal. And he controls all the everything and makes sure peace is reigning on the planet. And he's ordering fucking astronauts to go and investigate shit. They get to this planet. And then when they're showing the planet, man, it looks a lot like a cross between LV-426 and fucking the planet from Prometheus. And fucking, you can see where the Alien franchise and all the spinoffs where they ripped off a lot of the shit actually came from this movie.
Yeah, although, like, it's kind of like, obviously, Roger Corman, King of the Bees.
Yeah.
He made a lot of questionable films, sure. Yeah. But I don't think, and I haven't, like, checked this, but of all the films he made, which was a lot, I don't think a single one of them made lost money. And that's just because he really knew how to stretch a dollar.
Yeah.
Like, until it screamed, pretty much.
Yeah.
But he also seemed to have a really good eye for finding really awesome talent. So what happened with this one, Galaxy of Terror, he's like, obviously Alien comes out in 1979. It's a huge deal. And he's like, hey, let's rip that off. So the story of this one, it's similar in the sense that we're sending a group of ragtag astronaut people to this other planet to do, like, because there's a distress call or a ship's gone missing or something like that. And so they send them there, and then they start dying in horrible ways. But like I said, it almost kind of has, like, and they do that whole thing where one crew member is, like a spy. You know what I mean? So they did the same kind of thing like they did with
the dude that plays Martin the Martian.
Ray Walston. That dude's in everything.
Yeah, it's just an all-star cast, pretty much.
Yeah, but like I said, they do a different thing with it because, and I guess that's kind of cool because it gives you more leeway to have everybody killed in a different and splashy kind of way.
Yeah.
Because it's essentially your own fears killing you. And so, like I said, the cook, he's the cook on the ship, right? Ray Walston. And so he's the one that ends up being he's actually the Planet Master. Doesn't he say in disguise?
Yeah.
Planet Master's in disguise.
Yeah.
But yeah, so so he basically says the planet they come to, which is called what, Morganthus?
I think. It doesn't matter.
Wasn't it made as like a game planet. So it's very Star Trek. Yeah. It's made as like a game planet for the children of some lost civilization, like they're all gone now.
Yeah, they're putting too much in.
And they're supposed to like confront their fears.
Yeah,
so
they're doing too much exposition at that point. They should have just let that shit be. But go ahead. I'm just saying sometimes when they add information or backstory to it, it diminishes it. Did you notice that?
Yeah, well, although, like I said,
I ignored a lot of what they said.
Yeah, but I like the concept of this one, though, because you got to give him credit. Like, Roger Corman, like I said, he's notoriously cheap and tried to, like, do all these knockoff pictures and stuff like that. But, you know, very famously, we're going to shoot, like, three movies on the same set, and we're going to shoot it in 4 days or whatever. We don't have a script or whatnot, which is what happened with the next one. But it's just kind of like, they do actually seem to put an effort into, they could have just very easily made a direct Alien ripoff.
Which they kind of did.
They kind of did, but then they added their own shit to it, too.
Yeah.
Like I said, they added the psychological aspect of everybody getting killed by their own fears.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, made for more interesting deaths so they could put more gore in there than Alien had.
Yeah,
so
this movie doesn't make total sense either.
No, not at all. All
right, like, at one point, the captain, she's a hottie, you know, she's probably about, I think she was supposed to kind of be like Ripley.
Oh, Grace Zabriskie.
Yeah.
She played the captain.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I'm just used to seeing her older in like all the David Lynch movies. But yeah, she was in this too.
She's maybe 40-something in this, but she's fucking looking good.
They're trying to make her look older. They put
they
like
gray hair
on her.
You know, and anyway, she goes outside the airlock and fucking gets killed when it hits her. Okay, boom, she blows up. It didn't make much sense because everybody else is outside not wearing a spacesuit. Why aren't they blowing up?
Now, when I looked it up on Wikipedia, it said that she blew up because she was in the airlock and fired her weapon inside the airlock. And that's what blew her up. So she wasn't outside.
Okay, all right.
Which doesn't make a huge amount of sense, but it makes better sense than everyone else walking around outside not blowing up and her being the only one that blows up.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so
because we were talking about that.
Why the hell did that kill her?
Although I didn't catch that because it happened so quickly and like on a monitor, because there's somebody watched it like on a monitor, and I was like, wait, what just happened? She just exploded? What the hell's that about?
Corman understood the market.
Yeah.
Okay. He knew that a lot of shit was going VHS, and then there was VHS tapes were still real expensive at this time. But I think that they knew VHS prices would come out and there'd be rentals and shit. He was just trying to make a bunch of material, and cable was coming out too. So I think he knew that this did make $4 million at the box office on a $1 million budget. Okay, that's what it cost to spend it. to make. So he made a lot of profit on this.
Yeah.
But he knew that this movie would probably, for most people that were watching this movie, were not going to be seeing it in the theater. He made money most likely by renting it out to cable. All right. And then later, probably VHS rentals probably made a pretty good amount. But I don't think that was included in what the profit was. Pookie's trying to get. We'll give you. Eat later, Pook. She's going to give you some of those.
She's like, I don't understand later.
Okay, I'll give you some.
She's like, come on, I'm just going to make noise until you do it.
Make noise the whole show.
Yep.
But he knew that. So now she's getting the other one.
The other box.
Come here. He knew that this was going to be teenage boys watching this.
Yeah.
All right. And everything is written accordingly. And, of course, there's going to be gratuitous nudity. This is pre-internet pornography era.
Yeah, so it's so easy. You kids today with your easy access to internet porn where you can just like turn on, get it on your phone anytime you want.
Those teenage boys who weren't supposed to be in the theater, basically, they were in there anyway, though. Okay, they needed to get their fix, and they were going to show them some titties. And there's a lot of shit, and every Corman sci-fi movie I've seen has it in it, at least from this era. But the thing is that makes this movie different is that you could tell that Corman actually put effort into this one. They spent a lot of money on these sets. These sets look like the sets from Aliens, in a way. They reproduce that fucking same kind of tone. Now, the filters that they're using don't kind of make it look all that. I just gave you some of that. You can tell that the sets are cheap, but they get away with it. Okay, it looks good. All right, you can tell it's kind of made out of junk. Well, that's what you do anyway when you make a set like this. You know, it's just a bunch of fucking junk and fucking radiator fucking stuff and fucking air filters from your fucking air conditioner and shit.
I was going to say, though, that I mean, obviously that's a credit to James Cameron. Now, James Cameron had worked on Battle Beyond the Stars, right? That came out before this one.
And that looks good, too.
And then prior to that, like, because he'd always been kind of like second unit director. He's second unit director on this, and I think he's the production designer. And you can definitely tell that whoever did the production design on this is going places, because as cheap as this movie was, it doesn't really look all that cheap.
No, when you're looking at it, you can see where certain design, where certain concepts came from that were used in Aliens. It's a ripoff of Alien 1. It is. But he's kind of improved it in a certain way. And you're seeing the beginnings of Aliens, too. The shots, the way control consoles are made, the way rooms are separated, the doors, the ceilings, that you can see where the interiors and exteriors from Aliens came from. And they came from this movie. And it looks good, man. It looks really good. It would have looked even better if you had used the right filters and the same things that you saw that they used in Aliens to make them look a little more high-end, you know what I mean, to hide some of the imperfections. Some of the imperfections you can see because it's kind of clear, you know. It needed to be a little more ambiguous, maybe some, you know, water dripping and bad lighting and, you know, fucking mist. Which you see that in Aliens, you know, when they're walking around those compounds because, you know, there's water dripping through, you know, make them look a little more rustic and more like a real location. This does kind of look like a set, but it looks like a good set. It looks good.
I mean, I was quite impressed by the shot where they're kind of like the crew's all walking along those sort of little wide, whatever the fuck they are, like a little bridge type of thing.
Yeah.
And like down the side is like all these long walls that are almost kind of like these. What? I don't even know what you call that. It almost.
You're talking about in the pyramid?
Yeah. Like it almost kind of looks like a weird like wrought irony type of stuff, like pattern sort of
the
stuff, and it looks
must
really
have
cool.
Some kind of power generator or something. When you look at the pyramid, I'm going, man, that looks like the damn reactor on LV-426 on the damn Aliens 2. You know how the reactor is like a pyramid with the top cut off?
Yeah.
It's that same thing, basically. It's just looks like an ancient ruin. Looks like it got veins and shit going. It's jacked. The pyramid is jacked. It's got veins running up.
Yeah,
up
it looks shit. Really good. Like you know, I said, good. I mean, I've seen some higher budget movies than this that came out in 1981 that don't look as good as
that. Yeah, and they go down on the top of it, and you can see that inside the pyramid is like another pyramid. It's lit up, and it looks like a grating around it. It's some kind of power generator, but there's rooms in there, and they're having these damn alien hallucinations and being attacked by shit. It's kind of like something out of Forbidden Planet and Event Horizon, kind of. They're fighting their own fears, and a lot of them don't realize what it is that they're fighting. They think it's fucking monsters, or they're fighting themselves. And they actually kind of, the dialogue's pretty good. The story's pretty good. It's well thought out. And Corman's trying to make, he knows, at least with this movie, it has to be a serious movie. Something that the fans would like, you know. Now he's knowing that he's investing money in this film, and then that those same sets you can mix them up and
well,
make
yeah,
a couple
he did
other
that
cheap
a lot.
Films off
he
of
did
them
that
too.
A lot. He did that with like the Edgar Allan Poe films and stuff like that, like in the 60s. Right. I mean, he's like, hey, we built this shit. Why not like use it again? We'll just like redress it a little.
Yeah,
bit.
But you can tell this is the main effort.
The first one that they made with these sets.
Yeah, the sets were made for this movie.
Yeah.
You could tell. And then they were going to repurpose them with even lower budget movies after and use shots and shit and fucking, but with a different cast, a cheaper cast. Which
yeah, because the cast in this one is like pretty much everybody is recognizable.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the worm rape scene, because that's kind of what everybody talks. That's what everybody remembers from this movie.
It's famous.
It's very famous. So that actress's name is Taffy O'Connell.
Okay.
So
was she an actress or a hustler?
I'm not really sure. T with two A's, two F's, and then an E at the end. So I'm assuming that's Taffy.
She's smoking hot for the 80s. It's that 80s kind of no booty fucking look that was the skinny cocaine inspired fucking kind of woman. That's what she's like. But she is pretty. And she's acting pretty well. I don't know if she's an actress or not, or if she's a stripper or a fucking model. I don't know. But she comes off as a real actress in this. She gets scared by seeing these dead bodies, and she finds one of them that's all fucked up, and it's got worms on it, and she burns it up with her fucking ray gun so she doesn't have to look at it, which they all fucking vaporize bodies as soon as they see them, even before other people show up and see it. They don't do any analysis or anything. Just burn it up.
It's like, nope. Not going to let that sit around.
Like they're real fucking, they're real disgusted by these dead bodies. Well, that one had worms on it. You could easily tell they're the mealworms you feed to your lizard, but it's got worms on it. She didn't like worms. She was scared of them.
Yeah, that's why she ended up getting, like...
Yeah, and her fear of the worms caused one of them to grow fucking huge. You know, probably about 30 feet long, and it's just big, slimy fucking... It's a big old sex worm.
It's a sex worm.
That's what I'm going to call it. And it comes down the hallway and jumps on her and fucking rips her clothes off and all this fucking slime coming out of it. And she's going, she's fighting it. And then she starts getting into it.
And then she's just kind of like, oh, well, wait.
And she gets it. And then it kills her anyway.
Which is fucked up.
Which I guess that was part of her fear. Maybe her fear was that she would get into it.
Okay, so when they first got this woman to be in the movie, initially in the script, whatever script they had, the worm was just supposed to accidentally tear off her top while it was eating her.
Yeah.
But then the producers were like, no, if she's going to be in the movie, she has to have a sex scene.
Yeah.
So at which point Roger Corman was like, okay, well then we'll have the worm rape her to death.
Yeah.
And tear all of her clothes off.
Yeah.
Now, when they first kind of presented that to her, she was just like, nah, bro, I'm not doing that. Yeah. But they did actually get a body double.
Oh, so it's not her.
Most of it's her.
Okay.
But I think a couple of the shots, And actually, they had to take a couple bits out because when they first, like, submitted this to the MPAA or whatever, they gave it an X rating.
Right.
They said, and it's weird, like, the shots that they told them they had to take out, it's not what you would think. It's the two shots that they had to take out was, like, 2 seconds, maybe not even that, was a shot of her face looking like she was super into it, like, yeah. orgasm. Because, you know, yeah. you can't show a woman, like, having a good time or, like, an yeah, orgasm right. or anything.
That's now porn.
You know, because she's getting raped by a worm. And also, there was one shot of the worm kind of like making a humping motion.
Yeah, couldn't have it.
So they took a second of that out. But honestly, when we were watching it last night on Tubi, you would be hard pressed to like find out, to actually know like where they took that out, because it looks pretty. It looks pretty nasty. I mean, even the way it is.
I kind of remembered it, you know, with my 15 or 16 year old brain. I might have been even younger when I saw it. When I first saw this, I might have been like 14 or something. I remembered the scene being more graphic and longer. It wasn't. It was only a few seconds. And it actually doesn't show that much.
Not really. No. You see her titties.
And her legs.
And you see her, like, naked from the side, like, and you can see part of her ass, and you can tell that the worm is raping her.
It's mostly the sound effects.
Yeah.
It's the sound.
And it's just kind of like, and you can definitely tell that she's like, oh, no, oh, no, oh, wait. You know what I mean? Yeah. So they didn't take enough of it out to, like.
That was the horror aspect of it.
I guess. So it's like, that was her really deep-seated fear. She not only, I mean, I think most people are probably be scared of being eaten by a giant worm, but like she had a specific thing. She's like, oh, I guess it's a phallic thing. She was like afraid of like a big huge.
They had everything in this is practical effects that all looked pretty good. Joni, fucking Moran, she got fucking bunch
Man,
of tentacles.
Man, she got real fucked
she
up.
She got a bunch of tentacles wrapped around her and it squished her guts out. And then some of them went across her mouth like that. Pulled on her head so much her fucking skull popped off. Skull popped over.
I was like, poor Joni, look what they did to her in this movie. That was awful.
It was good, yeah. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool. I forgot that movie did this kind of stuff in there.
And then they all come back as zombies later.
Yeah, they come back as zombies
later. I had forgotten about that, too.
For a big grand finale. And then,
And man, she looked fucked up when she came back, also.
Yeah. Yeah.
But her boyfriend, Mustache Man, was real upset.
It's a legit flick, though. It was legit. It stands on its own. It's good. It's a good space horror movie from its day. You know, if you're a fan of Aliens or Alien, you know, this is not in the same league as that, per se, but you'd appreciate it.
But it's
it's not far from it.
I mean, and as far as, like, ripoffs go, it's not in the same, like, Z-grade kind of thing as something like Star Crash.
No.
This is actually just a couple steps below. It's kind of sleazy, but not as bad as, like, I saw, there's a site called Oh the Horror, and they have, like, a really long review of this, as well as Forbidden World, and they said if Alien is, you know, the sci-fi equivalent of Halloween, then this is the equivalent of Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Which actually I thought was a very good analogy.
It is sleazy, but it's supposed to be. And it's kind of a high-budget sleazy.
And honestly, this one, it does have a lot of sleazy aspects and it's pretty gory and stuff, but Forbidden World, to me, came across as sleazier and gorier.
Yeah, and more pornish.
Definitely more porn.
And we will start talking about that one, too. This one is another Alien ripoff. It's using some of the sets from this movie. You instantly recognize them. Even some of the jackets. Some of the guys are wearing the same jacket.
That looked like the Luke Skywalker jackets from Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah. Kind of they do. They look Star Warsy.
Yeah, they're Star Warsy.
Or Battlestar Galaxia-y. But that was another ripoff of fucking Star Wars.
Yeah.
They even have desert scenes, you know. It's like that might have been a little bit nod to Dune, I think.
I thought that as well. Yeah. Maybe it's just because we saw Dune recently, but I was kind of thinking look.
Pretty sure this came out after the Dune movie, the Dino De Laurentiis Dune.
It did not, that came out in 1984. Galaxy of Terror came out in 1981, and Forbidden World came out in 1982.
Maybe they're homaging Adventures in the Forbidden Zone.
Because there was kind of like a lot of deserty movies in the late 70s and stuff.
Mad Max ripoff type stuff. This one is kind of like Alien mixed with like a kind of like The Blob.
Yeah, I was thinking The Blob.
The Thing. And almost maybe like kind of like a zombie movie. It doesn't have any zombies in it, but it just kind of feels kind of like... This shows a lot of dead bodies and people that are kind of being dissolved, and they kind of look like...
It's very gooey. This movie is very gooey.
Now, this was also not a bad movie. It was watchable. Okay? It's a lot lower budget. You got two kind of Z-grade Hustler Honey type actresses in there, and they just get their money's worth out of them. They're the same age. One of them looks older than the other one. The other one just looks like a teenage girl. But they're actually, I checked who these actresses were. They were exactly the same age. The other one seemed to be 10 years older. And I think she was playing the part of an older woman. It doesn't make any sense. It's a biological fucking experimentation unit that's... has a couple of teenagers in it, and it's a hot teenage girl in it.
They're not teenagers, but they look pretty young.
They're supposed to be teenagers.
My favorite thing is that they're working on a spaceship or, you know, a research facility or whatever, and they're toddling around in, like, tight little jumpsuits and those clear Lucite high-heeled shoes.
Yeah.
Like, clicking, I'm just like...
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that would be a safety hazard, like wearing those around.
In skin tight sluts clothes and shit, too. Yeah.
And I was just like, I just laughed every time they walked through there with those fucking shoes.
Jenny's like, is that underwear? Just a skin tight fucking slut clothes. You know what I mean? Fucking.
Yeah, of course.
And then there's a mad scientist who's kind of like the mad scientist out of Day of the Dead. Kind of reminds me of that guy.
Yeah. Who never changes his lab coat. He just goes through the whole thing, hacking and coughing, which you find out why later. There is a reason.
Right.
But he just goes through the whole movie with blood all over his lab coat. And it cracks me up because from the beginning, like I said, this movie, actually, I think its original title is Mutant. And it's this research facility. And basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to... Okay, so
I'm just laughing that Jenny's explaining the movie.
No, well, we got to talk about something. But I have to explain it to get to what I thought was funny. Okay, that's what I'm saying. I'm providing context.
Yeah,
is what I'm doing.
It's just funny.
I wish you would allow me to do that.
I would allow you. I'm just thinking of this story. How cheesy this story is. Explaining it itself. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's like so. They're at this research facility and they're trying to like synthesize some kind of like food product, but then whatever they're trying to synthesize actually becomes sentient and actually, you know, wants to start eating humans it starts eating animals. Like I said, it's kind of like the Blob. Which, and they kind of like show some shit that looks like that later.
Yeah.
But the thing that cracks me up is that at the very beginning, like they have this dude, this kind of like, you know, muscle bound dude who I've seen before and it's like bugging me. And I'm just like, God damn it, I've seen that dude in a movie. It must have been one that was on MST because he looks real familiar. But he comes in to clean up the lab because they go in the lab and there's just like dead animals everywhere. There's like dead rabbits and shit like that. And they're talking about, you know, sanitation things and everything. I'm like, sanitation? Yeah. What? It's like nobody cleans anything. The mad scientist that works on everything is just touching shit with no gloves on. He's hacking and coughing all over everything.
Yeah.
He's like touching bodies and then touching food. And it's like, I was like, that's gotta be a joke.
The janitor comes in and he's about 19 or 20.
Yeah,
he's a teenager. There are teenagers and he has no fear of fucking dangerous fucking mutant animal putting his head in there looking at it.
It's
fucking ridiculous shit. You know what I mean? But it's supposed to be.
Fucking temp.
I guess what? Dude, you're in this fucking...
So did they not tell him, hey, go clean up the lab, but hey, don't open that glass thing with that really, really dangerous animal in it that we just accidentally made?
Yeah, this is, you know, this is a bio... This is a high-level biological experimentation lab. Just walk around, you know what I mean? Fucking touch shit. You know what I mean?
No one is wearing gloves. No one's wearing, suits.
No.
Nothing.
And it seems to be... It seems to be that you're supposed to laugh at this, though, or at least
I hope so.
I think they were laughing at it when they were making it. You know what I mean? This
because it just seemed really egregious.
Yeah. And then like their idea of romance is a fucking trip. Some chick, the little hottie chick,
who's I'm not sure what job. What was her job?
Just to walk around and fucking jiggle.
Walk around and jiggle in her Lucite high heels.
Every time she's a cute little thing. Fucking, she kind of looked like a skinny Alicia Silverstone.
And they show her from the bottom, like underalls. Yeah. It looked like an underalls ad.
She's just little, and she's got the fucking little slut glasses on, little fucking sunglasses wherever she goes, and fucking whenever she gets up to go somewhere, she bounces on purpose. They told, look, prance to the control room. Yeah. Corman doing his fucking thing. You know, like, we got
bounce more.
We got to give these kids what they want. You know what I mean? Freaking
not enough jiggle.
Yeah. So she goes into the damn steam bath because that's what a girl does in the bioweapons lab, you know, or whatever kind of the biofood labs. And she's sitting there, and dude just walks in. Boy, you sure are beautiful. You know, I guess privacy and nudity is not an issue in the future. And he's creeping. He just comes off as a creep.
He's
right?
like,
and she's scared of him. And then boom. Come over here. Take your pants
making
off.
Making out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just like, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. What? That shit didn't even happen in the 80s. I fucking lived in the 80s. Yeah. It's just their sense of fucking...
And she didn't know that dude. That dude was new. Yeah, he was like summoned there. He was supposed to be the Han Solo, although he didn't really do much of anything now that I'm thinking about it. And he was like really creepy. I thought he was creepy.
Yeah. I couldn't figure out where the story was going. I mean, it did go. It did have a story.
It did go.
Yeah. And it turns out... I checked, like, who wrote this shit? Corman started the movie. They didn't have a script. Only thing he did was, you know, the opening where he had the dude in a robot? That's all they fucking had. And, they said,
and that robot was in, like, the first few minutes, like, during the space fight. And then, like, mostly the robot's just kind of standing by the wall for the rest of people are just being like, hey, you all right? Yeah, I'm okay. And then they turn the robot off again. So the robot doesn't figure into the movie at all.
No, you didn't really need the robot. They just had it. It was just because a science fiction movie.
It looked good, the robot, but it's like, I just thought of that. It occurred to me today when I was thinking about it. I said, well, there was that long, like, 5-minute sequence or whatever where the creepy dude and the robot were in the ship, like, coming to this research facility because they'd been summoned there for whatever reason. And so they're, like, interplaying and, you know, it's push that button, do, you know, flip that switch and, oh, my God, and blah, blah, blah. We got to have to, like, fight all these. And it's, like, all exciting. And then once they get to the place, the robot, like I said, the robot, he just turns it off all the time. And it just is standing there by the wall and they never turned it on.
But they were evidently making this story up as they were going.
Roger Corman was basically like, yeah, you have 4 days to come up with a script. It's like, I don't just put this, the astronaut and the robot in the beginning. And I don't really give a shit what you do otherwise. He's like, but I kind of like the idea of Lawrence of Arabia in space.
Yeah, that kind of happened. They were out in the desert fighting the damn.
I haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia for a long time, but I'm pretty sure there wasn't something in there that like turned humans into the blob.
Yeah.
I mean,
it had nudity and it was gratuitous. Long lingering fucking male gaze.
Oh, and also, there was one part too.
Lesbian scene.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's not only the part where the girl is just naked in the sauna and the creepy dude comes in and is like leering at her and she's like, hey, what the fuck? And then she's like, oh, never mind, let's make out. Which I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
You can tell a dude wrote this. Yeah. But then later on, there was a scene where. Did the one like dark haired girl get some shit in her hair or something like that?
It
like some
make
goo.
Any goddamn sense.
And they're like, let's go in the shower. It wasn't really a shower. It was kind of like it just kept going woo.
Yeah,
woo,
it was like
pulsing
fucking,
light.
We're
both naked
with radiation.
Yeah, it's the radiation.
Radiation
wash.
Bath.
And so like the blonde woman was like behind the other one, kind of like combing her hands. And they're both naked, of course. And they're just like talking, like it's just kind of like, yep, confirmed, dude wrote this.
Yeah,
but it was just like
total bullshit.
It was just like hilarious, but. I will say one thing that is awesome about the monster in this.
Oh yeah, you gotta get to that.
Looks like, and again, I'm deferring to the site. Oh, the horror! They said this looks like a xenomorph if it was made with paper mache.
Yeah.
Also looked like Venom a little bit.
And
I thought
it kind of to me it looked like the thing from Little Shop of Horrors had a baby with a Black Widow spider.
Yeah, that could be
made out of paper mache.
Yeah. And maybe some hefty bags.
And Venom drew it. All right. So, like, you know.
I did like the one.
And it didn't move. That was the thing.
Yeah, it was like on top of the computer bank.
They would get its tentacles to move and they would do their mouth open.
And its mouth would go blah, blah, blah.
But
like
they
that.
Had to try to explain how it was going from one place to another or how it was jumping. It's they had to do it with camera angles. This shit was fucking hilarious.
I did
but
like.
I was like, that's the monster they're going with? Because the sets were pretty good.
Well, the sets had been built by James Cameron and his crew.
They were kind
for the last movie.
They were making this story up, and it was kind of it was entertaining.
I was entertained
and
by this one.
It had unrealistic shit.
In some ways, action. I think I was a little bit more entertained by this one than I was by Galaxy of Terror. Because it was much sleazier and much funnier. Yeah. Whereas the first one was kind of like, they had like some sleazy elements, but it was much more serious.
It's like a serious movie.
This one was kind of goofball, so there was just all kind of like, it wasn't funny, but there was a lot more crazy shit happening in it. And I really liked the one dude that just slowly turned into a big pile of goo over the course of the movie, and no one like thought to clean it up.
Yeah.
Or no, they would just go through the lab and just like walk around.
Yeah.
There's just like goop all over the floor. And it's like it cracked me up. But it looked really good. I thought the all the gooey effects and like all that. That looks really good. And so I looked up who had done the effects on that. And it's a dude named John Carl Beekler.
Yeah.
And this was his second or third movie that he'd worked on. But he went on to work on, like, a lot. He worked on a lot of shit with, like, Stuart Gordon. Like, he worked on Reanimator, Bride of Reanimator. He did fucking Mausoleum. He did Trancers. he did Ghoulies, From Beyond, Dolls, which was, again, a Stuart Gordon movie. He did Friday the 13th, 7, Nightmare on Elm Street, 4. Halloween 4. So like he went on, like his Wikipedia thing was like hugely long. Yeah. He had worked on like a lot of movies.
But I'm watching this movie and then I see this monster and I'm like, why did they go with that monster? Why, you know what I mean? They could have. I know they made.
I'm sure they didn't put much like thought into it. They're just like, it looks like a monster. It's a monster.
Yeah, they made up this story in 4 days. I think the movie would have been better without that monster at all and done something where it's a contagious thing and people turn it into goo, and maybe you're fighting just goo spores or things.
Well, because all the goo stuff looked really good.
Yeah, I would have focused just on that goo. I would have just dropped that monster, just not had it.
I mean, especially for 1982, that looked fucking disgusting. It was great.
And like you said, this one didn't look as good, but it was fun. You could tell that they were like, it was like on the at the level of like. I don't know, Reanimator or something. It's taking place in a small area. They do go outside, but they go outside just because Roger Corman said that. In fact, there's a scene where dude's fighting the fucking monster, and I'm like, that's where fucking Kirk fought the Gorn.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That's where that was. But yeah, I think that was where Kirk fought. A rock formation looked exactly like where the Gorn came down.
I kind of feel like they filmed a lot of stuff in that location.
Yeah, it's probably go out to the desert Gorn location. Film where we did the Gorn.
Go out to the Gorn Cliff.
Yeah,
that's kind of. Oh, we forgot to mention that the blonde hottie.
Yeah.
How the monster killed her by essentially sticking one of its tentacles up her vag.
And killed her.
And then it came out her shoulder.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Well, that was kind of like an homage to Alien 1.
It was.
How they got fucking that one girl.
Woo!
They don't show that that's what happened, but they let you think that because they show that spike going, like, and then boom, and she dies.
And then it pops out like over here.
Got her with the tail. And it was so funny. They go to talk to this dangerous alien while they're in their bathrobes.
Yeah, this was after the lesbian shower scene.
Yeah.
Where they're all kind of like talking to each other and it's like
they're talking to this giant thing through a computer.
We have to communicate with it.
Yeah, and this thing
in
knows
our bathrobes.
English. It knows English and even used the word affirmative. Like, wait a minute. This thing's educated already.
Yeah, affirmative.
Fucking, yeah, and it's just
I'm gonna kill you by sticking my tentacle up your cooch.
Yeah.
It was kind of a fun movie. It was. I had a blast with this one. I mean, I was kind of drunk when we were watching it, but
Galaxy of Terror is fucking a lot better, though.
I will say Galaxy of Terror is a better movie.
Yeah.
It's better made. It looks better.
Yeah, it's got great special effects.
And
it's like, this is a cheap movie. And they're showing, like, blaster effects that look really cool. They got, like, better than Star Wars. Star Wars was just a bolt that would come out. This, in certain angles, you'd see a damn lens flare. They put lens flare shadows. Like you've shot a fucking arc, like a welding arc, and when it hit a person, it would light up part of their body, and it was done with that same effect. It was just a little more meticulous. It looked good, real good. The movie was really punching way above its budget. That's why they put him on fucking Aliens.
Yeah, because he really knew. I think I was reading, like, the Wikipedia page, and it was saying that he came up with a lot of, like, really good, like, budgetary kind of stuff on there. It's like, oh, we can do this, and it's like, it'll be really cheap, and it'll look really good. So Roger Corman was like, hey, this is my guy. You know what I mean?
I remember when we saw this on television, I saw those blaster effects. I go, man, that's better than Star Wars in this old cheap movie. Because it didn't look that good on TV, on CRT TV.
Yeah.
It looks a lot better on an HD TV today.
Yeah, which is crazy, because you would think that it would show up all the flaws, but it actually...
Looks good.
For a movie that came out in 81 and cost this little to make, it actually looks really good. Like, it looks really decent. So, like I said, Galaxy of Terror obviously is the better movie, but I'm going to say I think Forbidden World is the more fun movie.
Yeah,
because it was the knockoff of the knockoff.
Yeah.
Because they're basically like, well, we have all these elaborate sets, and we have this crew here already, and we have a few more days, so let's just make another movie.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, to their credit, they could have just made another one like Galaxy of Terror, but they went like a biological type of way, I thought was cool.
After we were watching this movie, Jenny kind of fell asleep, and it went on to the movie after this, and it looked like another Roger Corman movie on those same sets.
Probably.
It looked like it. I don't remember what it was. We can go back and look at it. But
yeah, we'll have to go. Because that's
like another Corman movie, and I think I saw some of the same sets in it.
Well, yeah. Well, like I said, that's kind of why.
Sets make get as much as you can out of them.
I mean, it's you can say, oh, it's like cheap and everything like that, but it's kind of like, well, shit, man. You don't have you gotta economize.
What's the name of this one? Forbidden World.
Forbidden World.
Yeah, kind of like
or Mutant.
Yeah, kind of like we're not ripping off Forbidden Planet, but Forbidden World. This is how Roger Corman was. This came out in 81. In 1991, he recut it and released it again
as Dead Space.
As Dead Space.
Yeah,
and they say it's pretty much the same movie.
I thought he remade, like, reshot some shit. Or, I don't know if he reused.
I don't know.
And I know that in Galaxy of Terror, some of the shots they reuse from Battle Beyond the Stars. Like I said, he's always economizing that one. But I guess that's the reason that people still remember him nowadays. Because, like I said, the bitch made, like, 40 bajillion movies, right? And none of them ever lost money,
out of the thin air.
Yeah. Well, it takes a real talent, because you know any schmo can like make a cheap ass movie, but it takes a real talent to, you know, actually have the foresight to be like to pick out people that know what they're doing.
He's trying to do. He's actually doing what Ed Wood was trying to do.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So it's like I know you can shit on Roger Corman all you want, but. Yeah. You know, the dude knew what he was doing.
Yeah,
and he recognized like talent in other people. Like I said, that's why he liked James Cameron so much, because James Cameron made everything look like, you know, amazing, like on a nothing budget.
And in his defense, he knew when to dish out money and when not to.
Yeah, that too.
Because Galaxy of Terror had to look good. If not, it would just get made fun of. So if you're going to spend money, spend it on Galaxy of Terror. And then use those sets for everything they're worth. Just keep fucking just squeezing them and squeezing more money out of those damn sets in cheaper, more sleazier movies.
Honestly,
what I would have done.
I'll give Forbidden World. Yeah. It's like the effects in that one are much more like gooey and much more like gory. But those look good
too.
They're
good too, yeah.
And like I said, it's because they got a guy that knew what he was doing and actually like went on and did like a shit ton of other horror movies.
They just had a cast that was kind of like today. That would be like a cast from an asylum film. Like, you know what I mean?
Where
just dudes that could do it and hotties that would take their clothes off. And you'll make money with it. And it did.
I have to say, from Galaxy of Terror, the worm looked really good. Yeah. Now, they said that that prop that they built, obviously, because you don't have CGI back then, but it weighed about a ton. And at some points while they were doing that worm sex scene, it almost fell on her. So she almost got killed.
If I remember correctly, when I was reading about Forbidden World, it made about the same the other one did.
Yeah, Galaxy of Terror.
Galaxy of Terror.
See, so that's like really maximizing your profit.
He's just fucking cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. So he knows. I probably would have done the same thing. I think I'd have gone the Russ Meyer's way and just put big titty girls in there. Russ Meyer girls in there.
I don't even think we've done
strippers.
Have we done any Russ Meyer movies?
No, we need to do some.
You should read. I have his biography. It's fascinating.
He was boob-centric, man. I feel his pain. I understand. I totally understand. But Russ Meyer's would just straight up hire strippers and fucking have them act. And they did just as well as actresses.
Well, it worked out. People worked out still fine. Watching that shit nowadays, too. Yeah. So, you know.
And, you know, and what stripper wouldn't rather be a movie star?
Yeah, I'm sure it's so, a lot better than being a stripper.
Well, you know, it's more notoriety and stuff, and you know, you get to show, you get to act and show your personality and fucking do those crazy ass fucking stories that Russ Meyer would come up with.
Yeah,
some of those Russ Meyer films were basically just straight up softcore porn, but some of them did have stories, you know, biker story type, gangster gang.
Like I said, they do kind of try to come up with something, which, like I said, which is what I respect about these two movies, even though they're both ripoffs, and one is like a ripoff of a ripoff because it's like reusing stuff. At least they did try to come up with. They each have their own story. They're really, really different.
Yeah.
And they did try to come up with something different than Alien, which is what they were ripping off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so these are both on Tubi at the moment. If you would like to watch them. Normally, if you watch Galaxy of Terror, Forbidden World will automatically come out. At least for us, it did.
Yeah, see this shit on Tubi. Don't spend any money on it.
Yeah. I thought they were super fun. They're super fun.
I would own Galaxy of Terror on Blu-ray.
Yeah, they're super fun.
That's good. You put that right next to the fucking Aliens, you know, Aliens 2. You know, it's a Corman flick. Or not, it's a you know, Corman and Roger, what's his name? Fucking, not Roger, what's
it? James Cameron.
James Cameron. Roger Corman, James Cameron.
But it's interesting to watch.
You can definitely tell that that's James Cameron.
Yeah, like the way the sets are everything.
Yeah, one
like
of the characters' names is Cameron.
It's actually Cabron. I looked it up. Because we thought that too, like for a long time. Cameron. I said, are they calling him Cameron? It's like, is that an in-joke? But no, when I looked it up on Wikipedia, his name's Cabron.
It's got to be.
C-A-B-R-O-N.
That's got to be an in-joke too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And I also have to give a shout out to the luxurious porn stashes that a couple of the characters have. Porn stashes and boobies.
And good costumes and good sets. And
the dudes with the boobies, the girls with the boobies don't have porn stashes.
I got to shout out the scores on both of these movies. They're both good. Galaxy of Terror actually is a fucking real good score. The fucking planet one. What's it called? Not Forbidden Planet.
World.
Forbidden World. I'm getting everything confused now. Forbidden World kind of has an ultimate fucking new retro wave score to it.
It does.
Just real fucking new retro. And like, kids would jam out to that today. Online.
Yeah, you could totally put that. And I was thinking that too while we were watching it. I said, oh my God, you could put this on the new Retro Wave channel with some cool, like,
cool fucking
graphics and shit.
Behind it, and you go, yeah, that's it.
Like a Neon DeLorean or something. Yeah, and everybody would be like, yeah, gone. Awesome.
Yep. So, and evidently at the time, people noted that the score was good.
Yeah.
On that one.
It was. But yeah, these are both totally worth watching. Super fun. Like I said, I kind of feel like Forbidden World is more fun, but that's just because it's sleazier and goopier and boobier.
Nonsensical and shit, yeah.
And has more, like, funny shit in it. Yeah. Whether the funny was intentional or not, I'm not entirely
sure.
It's
funny in the way Day of the Dead was fucking funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Galaxy of Terror is much more serious.
Yeah.
So it's like a serious Alien ripoff. But yeah, like I said, these are both on Tubi. So check them out and let us know what you thought about them. So that'll do it for this double feature movie retrospective, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.